Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you. Ah, yes, less than 24 hours away from National Signing Day, part deux. My French is awful. My Spanish is worse, part two. And we'll tell you where we think some major prospects are headed. Got to hedge our bets that way. A full blowout, four alarm, five-star recruiting show tomorrow with Hail Varsity Radio. We will be on early at 2:30. You'll hear from Coach Frost at 3, and prospects and coaches and our man Greg Smith riding shotgun to take you through till 6 o'clock. And tap the line, Schilling Bridge, Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865 on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio or at Hail Varsity. You can email us, Chris, at HailVarsity.com. We'll get into some Nebraska basketball. We'll get into the five Husker invites to the NFL Combine. You go lose the Super Bowl and your house gets broken into. We'll have Rob Gronkowski's emergency phone call on that. Some Malcolm Butler news. If you care about it, if you moved on, that's fine too. Husker news, Lane McCallum, talented standout player at Norfolk, was at Air Force, just announced on social media he is transferring back to Nebraska. I shouldn't say back to Nebraska. He's transferring to Nebraska, but he's going to be back in his home state. So that is good news. He's going to play safety. At least that's what it says on Twitter. Mitch Sherman is coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about recruiting in signing day. And we'll spend some time on basketball as well, but we'll get his take on the second class Frost can land for Nebraska, or pretty much finishing the class. Andy Markowski, the pride of Ord, Husker standout, going to be with us in 1 hour. So plenty of recruiting and plenty of Nebraska basketball today. So Nebraska is back in action. Nebraska's ready to go. They are in Minneapolis, Prince's hometown, the site of Super Bowl 52, a couple of days late. So how's Nebraska going to handle this situation being the rest versus the rust? And Coach Miles asked about it yesterday. Tell me, how was the week off?
Good to get time off. I thought that they came back well rested. We've had two very good days of practice, a lot of energy. Still need to clean up aggression part that you kind of lose and just all that. But a couple guys got sick, but I think that's just going around everywhere.
It is, man. Not going to lie. Junior had it. Mama Bear has it. She doesn't puke. And she was trying to drink water because she sounded like me. And that's what she told me. Last night, I sound like you. Some of us have get lung infections, and she's pretty much healthy. She sounds horrible. She sounds like she's been smoking non-filters for about 27 years. And then switched to the mediums, not the lights. So she sounded brutal. The illness has been going around. Good luck and God bless avoiding that. So of the things you're concerned about tonight, and maybe you're not. Maybe you think Minnesota's just done without Reggie Lynch. I think this rest and rust issue, a lot of it's, you know, it's made and been talked about Super Bowl weeks. It's been talked about games between NBA finals. It's been hit on. Anytime you have a bye and you're on a roll, that's my big concern. Did Nebraska need some rest? Yes. Four games in 8 days. Did Nebraska handle themselves well and keep that tank pretty full? I think so. Now, do you need a week versus 3 or 4 days? Nebraska could have played Wisconsin last Monday and easily had a game on the weekend to keep things rolling. Nope, you get the whole weekend off. You get a rest up, you get to get fired up, you get to kind of reassess, and then here's the final push for these final six. We'll have a bracket update here in about 30 minutes. We'll get into to where things stand with Nebraska and where things are at when it comes to ESPN.com's latest projection. Listen, of the things I am worried about for Nebraska, and here's my bullet point list. The rust, the quick start, the pressure, and I'm going to throw poise in there. That's my list, and it doesn't go in order. Am I worried about the rest and rust? No. I'm more worried about rekindling momentum. That's it to me, and you do that by playing. Guys need time off. Guys need to heal up. Guys need to get right. But just being in that groove, being able to play and go win, you get in a rhythm. That's what I'm concerned about in Nebraska's rhythm. Are they going to start quick tonight? I have no idea. If I'm betting, they shoot 42%. If they get to the free throw line, they win. And from a pressure standpoint, that's very real. To me, that is like worry number one about the road show tonight. Are they going to be able to handle the poise, this opportunity? I believe they mean to take it one game at a time, but they're 18 to 22-year-olds. Colton, you're 18 to 22. You hear things. Your focus can shift. And to me, that is it. Are they going to play free? Or are they going to tense up and pucker up? They're going to tighten up. To me, the pressure of the buzz and the noise, if they're hearing it and they're listening to it, that's it. The understanding that you got to be damn near perfect, and does that get between their ears, and do they tighten up a bit?
Well, obviously you want, like you said, you want to hope they're going one game at a time. They're taking each possession, you know, one at a time. They're not trying to think way ahead. But like you said, 18 to 22-year-olds, if you know they're hearing that, you know they're this hot shot momentum team.
Oh, you're so close to getting in, fellas!
Right. It kind of starts to linger, and you think that, you know, but I would hope that would fuel them to play better and not play worse. I guess I just don't want them to get like too
how do they
flashy.
Handle it? Right.
Right. I guess it just with each person it'll sit differently, but. You would hope that would fuel them to play better and not affect them negatively.
Here's Coach Miles on some of those issues. One, the layoff. Is it real? And well, was it spectacular?
It is what it is, so there's nothing you can do about it. So if it works against us, we've got to minimize that as soon as possible, you know. Try to get the guys competitive the whole time. Try to work on some of our fundamentals that we always need work on. You know, we can practice really well, but it really won't matter until you get out there and get punched in the face to how you react. It's another road game, difficult environment to win in, so we'll just have to do a great job, and hopefully we'll get off to a quick start.
I saw the barn turn 90 today. That's impressive. Anytime you hit nine decades, that's a good thing. So there's Miles. It's the is what it is answer. Dealing with that layoff. This year's going to be interesting to see how the Big Ten fares in the tournament. Was this an unnecessary break for Nebraska? Does it screw them going forward? They got to handle their business, but things were rolling. More from Miles here when it comes balancing that buzz and the task at hand. One game at a time. Oh, you guys are in, or you're almost in, or you're the last four out. That's a monster juggling act.
I asked the guys a question. I says, what have we accomplished so far? And, you know, do you count winning games as accomplishment? Because I don't. And I think they all understood that, or at least they agreed with me to my face. I want them to understand what it takes for accomplishment and what that journey looks like. And you know, the other thing I was worried about is I'm like, okay, who counted games before the beginning of the year? Who said, oh, I think we can win 20 or 19 or 21, you know, and like three guys were honest and they raised their hands. I'm like, well, here's how many I think we can win. And while that number doesn't matter, I just want them to get beyond this, I have arrived, or I think we're doing good. We just have to stay hungry, think like an underdog, and keep going from there.
That is so right on. You got to stay hungry. You got to stay, well, poised again, but you really need to stay laser focused, like angry, chip on your shoulder, disrespected, and it's got to go that recipe per opponent moving forward. Got to respect Illinois. Got to respect Rutgers. They almost beat Purdue, for God's sake. I can't figure Rutgers out, other than they're brutal, until they're not. I can't figure out Minnesota. They lost in overtime in Ann Arbor. Michigan should have won by 30 based on what Minnesota's been through. Richard Pitino, Richard. I mean, that's a grease fire going on at Minnesota. They're a preseason top four. They're a tournament team. They're ranked 12th when Nebraska beat them. Now they're 14-11. I probably screwed their record up. That's how much I pay attention to Minnesota. But they're not good. But they're a different squad at home, and they're a different squad than you saw in December. That is what lays out factually with Nebraska tonight. So your rundown is this. Will rest be an issue? Can Nebraska start quick? Will they handle the pressure slash will they have enough poise to handle this opportunity? Miles said something when he was talking to the fellas. Have we accomplished anything? Using his words, we don't have any red on today. What do you think as a Nebraska basketball fan? Have they accomplished anything? 17-8 could move to 18-8, could move to 9-4 in conference. You want bigger and better. I get it. You want another no-sid Sunday. You want another celebration with confetti raining down at PBA when you see Nebraska's name, hopefully not against Baylor. But they're there on Selection Sunday on March 11th. You want it because you can almost taste it right now because you haven't been in this position for 4 years. And in 3 years ago, you had a returning tournament team that tanked. They were awful. They weren't on the same page. You know how the last 2 years have gone with sub-500 records. So, have they accomplished anything? The long answer is no. The long answer being, goal is to get to the tournament. You have enough talent here to get to the tournament. You have enough talent to make noise in the Big Ten because you clearly have. The short answer is just for Nebraska to keep doing their thing, and can they handle it? Now, have they accomplished anything? I don't think they have because of what they do have on this roster, how well they've been playing together. They should do more. And I understand the point of view where, well, they won three or five conference games last year, or, man, they're already up to 17 wins. At some point, as a Nebraska basketball fan, with the facilities, with the talent you're getting here, you want to and need to think bigger, where you're just not going to settle for an NIT or a bubble. At some point, you want this thing to move forward to where you're PO'd that you're in the 8-9 matchup. Will it ever get there? I don't know. It's been a long time since the knee golden era, and the best they ever did was a 3 seed. The worst they were was an 11. There's your range. Optimum, insane, 27 win, top 10 good, balance and depth. They're a 3 seed. Tyrone Hill made me cry. Worst, you're fighting with somebody for that last spot in the conference. Don't expect the 3 seed. Maybe ever again. But man, it'd be cool to not be a 10 or an 11. Get somewhere in the single digits sometime. And that's what needs to happen with Nebraska basketball. And I agree that Nebraska hasn't accomplished anything in comparison to some very forgettable years where you were disgruntled and stopped paying attention and watching, and there was no one on the bandwagon. Yeah, they've done something because they're already at 17, could get 18. They could get to the tournament. But where you want this program to be is in contention, I would say, every 2 to 3 years for an NCAA tournament. And when they're in contention for it, it's just not that they're going to sneak in, but they're going to get in because they earn it and then make some noise. Based on how they've approached this one-and-done transfer acquisition. That's who they've gone after. Okay, we're not going to get the one-and-done kid, but we may get the kid that should have been one-and-done based on recruiting rankings, hit some sort of slick patch for whatever reason, and we get him back here. They're that caliber and high a level. If they're here for a year and then gone, all good. Preferably, you'd like him to stay for a couple, James Palmer. But it's worked out. We'll spend some more time on Nebraska basketball. Colton and I will have our always on target prediction tonight against Minnesota. Do you think Nebraska basketball has accomplished anything? Where are you at as a Husker basketball fan? We'll hit some recruiting. The next 30 minutes, Mitch Sherman coming up with ESPN.com and Magazine. Great to be with you on Tuesday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We'll get caught up with the Pride of Ord, Andy Markowski, to talk Nebraska, Minnesota coming up. Welcome in with ESPN.com and Magazine, Mitch Sherman, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how are you today?
I'm good. I thought for a second you were introducing me as the Pride of Ord, and I was going to have to correct you, but I'm well and avoiding the weather.
Yeah, I just kind of peeked outside. We have a window in the studio. Colton doesn't because he's locked in the technical side of things. But peeked outside, and I got an email about juniors basketball stuff that was kind of shut down tonight. How are you doing up yonder?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like maybe you're getting it worse than us. We've got some light snow.
That's what we got.
It's a nice follow-up to our couple inches yesterday. And 7 degrees. I'm really feeling it here in February.
Well, it's signing day tomorrow. That's got to have you a little bit excited.
Oh, I'm excited about that. I'm just specifically not excited about the weather. Signing day is great. Signing day is great. It doesn't have quite the same feel of previous years, but nonetheless, an important one in Nebraska and important for a lot of places around the country.
It is. And what do you anticipate tomorrow from Coach Frost? And you've seen and you know a lot of the prospects that are out there to be picked up for Nebraska. You have rush end / outside linebacker, offensive tackle, and corner that are the A, B, and C of needs. And what has stuck out to you this second cycle by Frost and his coaching staff?
I would say what stuck out is that they're not, you look at the numbers right now with where they are in the class, and knowing that they would have signed more than 25 if everything had fallen into place, and things may still fall into place tomorrow to boost that number up to a relatively high number, close to 25. But what's stood out to me is that they haven't just filled up the class with bodies. I think there's a temptation oftentimes to do that when you have a regime change, especially when you're doing something as dramatic as they are and changing certainly the scheme changes anytime there's a coaching change, but sometimes you leave one side of the ball alone and, you're only working on maybe half as much change as is typical or as we see here. So Nebraska has a lot of incentive. These coaches have a lot of incentive to get their guys in place, but there's a balance there that you need to strike. And I think that they've worked hard to do that and then haven't succumbed to the pressure to maybe take a marginal player or a guy who they wouldn't recruit in 2019 or 2020 just to have a person in practice. I think they've done well and seem to have hit a home run with this walk-on group. And tomorrow a few of the decisions. Maurice Washington stands out. Will go a long way toward determining the overall success of what began, well, what began in earnest on before December 20th, but what started to become official on December 20th.
From the buzz nationally that year around, you know Nebraska very well. You also know the Big Ten, but you also see what's going on. How does the Frost name and the Nebraska brand stacking up this cycle, maybe in compared to the last few years? And that's not a shot at Riley or Pelini. It's just that Frost has a couple, three shelves added into his office because of the Coach of the Year award.
Yeah, he does. I think it's helped. I mean, there's no question that the success that he had this year and the awards that he won and the hype that he received around the college football playoff, both because he felt his team was on par with those four programs playing for the title, and because of the story that generated, having him on College Game Day, the day of the championship. I think it all helped with exposure and recognition for what he's doing at Nebraska. I think Nebraska has more of a buzz to it because of him, almost solely because of him, than has been the case for a number of years. I mean, you can go back maybe longer than a decade to find the last time that people talked about Nebraska outside of its own fan base in the way that they are right now. And you know, that carries into tomorrow. I don't know how much of an effect it has. It's hard to say. I mean, did they sign two or three recruits that they wouldn't have been able to if not for some of the exposure? You know, perhaps. But the way to measure it, again, and I sound like a broken record on this whenever we talk about recruiting, but the way to measure it is going to come years from now. So I think you'll continue to see it. And I think the importance of the Frost, the hire, will clearly, the most important thing comes in the seasons ahead. But, I mean, and as far as this offseason, I think you'll continue to see him be someone that people want to take notice of nationally, and not just in recruiting. I think you're going to get another dose of that this week when, in all likelihood, Nebraska is going to sell out its spring game in a matter of a few days. It may sell out the spring game tomorrow when tickets go on sale to the general public. And I don't know that anyone has ever sold out a spring game in February. We've seen some recent examples at Ohio State where they've filled the stadium, but it's always been in the hours leading up to the game. So Nebraska's not going to draw 100,000 like the Buckeyes did simply because the stadium won't hold it. I think they could probably sell 150,000 tickets to that spring game, and people will continue to take notice of that all around these next 2 months.
Did you ever come across a story where someone had to buy a scalp spring game ticket?
You know, I was looking it up today because I stopped into the ticket office. I was in Lincoln, and I stopped in around 10:30 to see if there was actually a line, and there was. And I know up in the athletic department, the phones were buzzing, and people were not getting through because the lines were overwhelmed. And this was just for the season ticket holders. So, in talking to some people around North Stadium, it became clear that this thing's going to sell out and probably sell out fast. And there is going to be a secondary market for spring game tickets. The only time that I could find in doing a little bit of research that's ever happened was at Ohio State in 2016. And that was when Urban Meyer called out the fans, you know, come sell this thing out 100,000 strong. I think the game was on like April 15th and they sold it out on April 14th. And then for a short period of time, you had the scalpers working there, working, you know, behind the scenes and selling tickets. But no, it just doesn't happen. And it's going to happen here. And Nebraska has taken some measures to make sure that, the people don't get taken advantage of. I don't think you could have walked into the ticket office and bought 100 tickets today. I know that the kids' tickets, which are free, are not going to be allowed to be resold to adults. And it'll be up to those wonderful event staff workers to make the determination on whether you're an adult or you're a kid if you hold a kid ticket walking into Memorial Stadium. So if you're listening and you're planning on going there April 21st with a free kid ticket and you're 40 years old, you're going to get turned away. And that's, I think it's pretty unprecedented in spring games, not just here, but everywhere.
Not even if you have a signed jersey on and you're 40?
Right. Well, then you can get in. That'll be you, and then you can get in.
No, I don't have that. Here's what I'm wondering, and I'm asking for judgment on me from you. If I get a kid's spring game ticket for junior, but I sell it to him, does that make me a bad father?
To your own child?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I think you can sell it to your neighbor kids, but don't sell it to – I mean, if you sell it to your kids, really, where's it? You're just kind of selling it to yourself, right?
Work
the neighborhood. Work the neighborhood, you know, set up a ticket stand in your neighborhood, and then when the kids come over to play with your son, sell them tickets.
Well, either that or we can go door to door and just – I got four together for 100.5. Are you in? I got somebody on the other line.
Right. I think as long as you sell your free kid tickets to other kids, then you will, one, be the worst person in the world, and two, you will make money on it.
Okay, I'm doing the Dr. Evil thing here. I'm thinking here. On a serious note, and there's a really good story on ESPN.com. Sam Kahn wrote it. I wanted your take here. He outlines Clemson, Georgia, and Penn State, how they kind of blew up, how recruiting helped all three schools. And Clemson's been really good at quarterback. Georgia's locked down the state of Georgia because everyone else has decided to go into Georgia in past years and do their thing. And then Penn State's been just really, really good with their front seven. They've been tremendous. They just kind of reload, and that's after Larry Johnson Sr. went to Ohio State, and he was really good for a number of years at Penn State as a D-line coach. What's Nebraska's angle? How does Nebraska do what Penn State, what Clemson, what Georgia's done? What's their angle?
Well, I think what that story shows is that there isn't a specific formula
exactly
that fits everybody.
Yeah.
They all did it differently. And if you're Georgia, it's really not that hard. I mean, you still have to work, but you don't have to leave your state. And I mean, Georgia is just a booming recruiting ground. And I think people have known this, and I've known this, and anyone who follows the sport has known this for a number of years. But, I mean, where did Deshaun Watson come from when you talk about Clemson? Well, he came from the heart of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alabama has gone in there and gotten players to help build its championship teams. Clemson did, as we just said. So, you know, it stands to reason that Georgia would need to lock that thing down. And that does not apply to Nebraska. But, Nebraska has its own formula, and part of it is securing its borders and doing what it's doing right now with the walk-on players, and then next year, this year and next year. There is an upswing, I think, in talent in the state. You see a player from Omaha Burke yesterday picking up an offer from the University of Florida. So part of what Nebraska has to do in the Nebraska-specific formula to fall into that category with those schools is to get everybody close to home. And really, you can't miss. I mean, it's going to happen occasionally. Nebraska missed on Scott Frost out of the gate. But you have to do what Tom Osborne did and make yourself the place in 1A, 1B to go if you're a great player in Nebraska or in a nearby state, and then, you know, go out and supplement that by really scouting well and evaluating talent in the places that your staff is comfortable working. And for this group, that's going to be Florida. That's going to be in the junior colleges. I think that they're going to do good work in the state of Texas when they have a full year to recruit on the same terms as the teams within their own conference. So they know where those strengths are better than what I do. And if they execute their game plan, then, you know, I think Nebraska has a chance to join those other schools that you mentioned.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, we'll be reading you for the latest. Thanks so much for the time today. Stay warm and avoid that snow, okay?
I will try to do that. You do the same. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Mitch Sherman, good to get caught up with him. We'll discuss when the spring game sells out. Hail Varsity continues.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. 20 minutes away, Andy Markowski, the pride of Ord on Nebraska-Minnesota tonight. You may have noticed a different soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year. Yep, that's right. It's AgriGold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm. The AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. I had not forgotten that season ticket holders had a chance to get spring game tickets today. But then I got the email about the spring game tickets going on sale tomorrow. But that was interesting to hear from Mitch, who was down there, and there's a line, and it's going to be insane tomorrow. Think about, like, the national holiday that is signing day and spring game tickets go on sale. That's nuts. So for him, like, dead serious to say this thing's going to sell out. I thought it'd sell out, but I thought it'd sell out similar to what Urban did in 2016, where there's a shot clock and you're just doing it to look cool. Well, no, there's a genuine worship going on. There is. And everyone wants to be there for Frost's first spring game. You can have a cocktail and some chips and watch it at home on BTN at 11, April 21st, too. You can have a cocktail and some chips at a tailgate and enjoy the heck out of your Saturday. But, Colton, when does this thing sell out? Is this thing like Pearl Jam in their heyday? 3 seconds, tickets gone. Is this thing done by Friday? Is that too short a turnaround? Wednesday to Friday, it's sold out.
Does the
seats remaining last till March?
Ooh. I think they're gone very latest first week of March.
Okay.
I think it's reasonable to assume, like, some of those higher bowl seats will probably go till March. Unless that's the first ones that, I mean, they're all the same price basically, aren't they? $5, $10, $15 or whatever they are.
I haven't looked yet. And this isn't just stand up hour. I am gonna charge my kid. He's a little piggy.
Wow.
But there needs to be some sort of shakedown for how messy he is.
Are you going to let him wear Michigan State gear to the spring game?
What I'm going to do is...
Then he should pay.
Well, listen, I'm going to stick him with Kranach up in the you need oxygen level.
The 300s.
Yeah, on that east side. And kid's going to, if he wants to wear green, he'll have to fend for himself. I admire his stick-to-itiveness with who he likes. He just in his lifetime, he hasn't seen great Nebraska football.
That's fair.
He hasn't. He was 3 when Sue was doing his thing in 09. You at least, what are you, 20? Going to be 21?
We'll be 21 at the end of the month. Yeah.
Okay. So, you...
I've seen a little bit.
You've seen a smidge.
Yeah.
And you've heard about the greatness.
Right.
But he has no...
Nothing to grasp.
He has no recall at all. Let's talk recruiting here for a little bit. We'll get into Gronk's 911 call. A little bracketology breakdown coming up as well. Where's Nebraska at? The latest with ESPN.com. And Andy Markowski is coming up. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. So, Greg Smith is going to be with us tomorrow. Recruiting blowout, 2:30 to 6. Guests, analysis, Frost press conference. Look, the number one name on your list as a Nebraska fan, I think from an excitement meter standpoint, is Maurice Washington. You've read about what Deion Sanders thinks about him from Omaha.com. You see, if you've watched his film, I mean, here's my problem. I can watch film and I can see natural gifts that are impressive. Mm. And with Maurice Washington, the dude can change direction. He can outrun people. He can catch the football. He can run the football in traffic. He's just special. And with that said, he's the guy that you have to get tomorrow. And you've got 1,000 running backs already. But what Nebraska does not have at running back right now is a dude that can change the game with one carry. They don't have a guy that can break off chunks on the ground. And Ziggy's nice. Wilbon, good player. Who else am I missing?
Trey.
Yeah, Trey Bryant with his knee. What's his future look like? Mm-hmm. When he's healthy, he looks darn good. Jalen Bradley, very talented. So you have some options, but are any of those guys going to take it to the house or a threat to take it to the house every time they touch the ball? You got the kid Bell out of Arizona Western, and now you have a high probability, I would say, of Maurice Washington being part of this class. And you just want options and you want hybrids in this offense. And that's what Nebraska needs. They need that home run threat, and it's on everyone's Christmas list for recruiting. But have more than one, and maybe you have more than one between Washington and Bell. And then if the backs that are currently in the room keep getting better. So Washington's the guy you want. I think you feel pretty good about. And it'll be interesting to see where Caleb Tanner ends up. Levante, that'd be great if it was Levante. Javonte, Jean Baptiste. You know what? It sounds like Ohio State's going to lock him up. Here's where he's been kind of waffling, though, because he's always been kind of a plan B for Ohio State, a high plan B or a 1A, let's call him that. And then no one knows what's going on with Schiano. Didn't you read yesterday that Schiano's heading to New England? Well, maybe not as a D coordinator. And maybe there was some misinformation or miscommunication or whatever with Schiano. Is he part of Belichick's staff? Is he the D coordinator? Is he staying if he's not defensive coordinator, filling in for Patricia? Because I tell you what, if I'm Jean Baptiste and I'm making a decision and Ohio State's where I want to be, Chiano's the guy I want to play for because he's a Jersey guy. He's been the lead recruiter. And if he leaves 2 hours after I sign my letter of intent, I'm going to be pissed. So, and that happens a lot. So I think Nebraska's in it. And Caleb Tanner, he's a kid out of Georgia that's super talented. Just good with his hand in the dirt and coming off the edge. Really, really good tackler. I mean, I like what Tanner's done. You hear the cliched motor. Well, his motor's money. Offensive line, musts. Willie Canty, Jared Bell, Jalen Robinson. Nebraska wants two. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Well, this word from Nebraska, nearly 60,000 tickets have already been sold in 6 hours for the Red-White Spring Game. 60,000. So, clock is ticking. 29,000 and change left for you. What was your first spring game? Who was quarterback?
Maybe like 2002.
Okay. Somewhere Jamal Lord.
Yeah.
I went to that one too. It's raining. It's not a spring game I went to with my dad.
And I think the first game I remember going to was Utah State in, was that 02 also?
They had Arizona State that year. That was the opener.
Utah.
Arizona State was 10th in the country.
I'm trying to think. Utah State might have been like 04. Yeah. Somewhere in that range, though. That's the first one I remember.
Yeah, that was not Levante, but Demario Williams. So 03.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I think there's evidence for the spring game. This might have been fan day. I'm getting them meshed together. My dad's the biggest fan of the 83 Nebraska football team that exists, almost. So there's, I remember going to that era, and I remember seeing Broderick during the spring game, and there was a spring game he got to watch. I don't know if it was for unloading tickets or if it was from an injury standpoint. We'll go with injury, but he was cool. Sandman is phenomenal. Liked that 88 team a lot. And then, yeah, Junior went with Papa probably when he was 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. But him and Mama want to go. They're going to have to just get on the horn, though. Make it happen. Make it happen. Andy Markowski, 10 minutes away. We'll talk to him about Nebraska and Minnesota tonight. If Minnesota does not get to postseason, talking NIT, is Richard gone?
How long has he been there?
I don't know. Like 3, 4 years?
It doesn't feel like he's been there that long.
Because his first year was like 7-19. Mm-hmm. Then they were good. Then last year they were a tournament team. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look that up.
I think it's maybe 4.
That seems long, though. That seems long. Do you have someone circled on the recruiting rundown here that you want here, you're geeked about?
I think Maurice Washington was the big one.
He's yours?
Too. Yeah, if you can get Jean Baptiste, I think that's the one you want.
If you could get him and Tanner, you got 1-2 punch on the outside. I mean, here's your absolute like dream day tomorrow. You get Washington, you get Baptiste, you get Tanner, and then you get Jarrett Bell, the offensive tackle. Tyon Palmer also says yes. I mean, we're just. And you have 7 spots. You got to figure out the +3 number after the spring game. You can be over 3 until fall camp starts. Eddie Markowski, the Pride of Ord, on the way. Thanks for your time. Hour 2 coming up on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. And we'll get to some recruiting thoughts. Gronk's 911 call. The Bubble Watch. Welcome in the Pride of Ord, standout with Nebraska basketball. Andy Markowski with us. Andy, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Schmidt. And yourself?
I'm good, man. How are you going to spend this evening? Is it chips and dips and something cold to drink as it snows outside to watch Nebraska? How does Andy Markowski watch Nebraska hoops?
It's usually a Big Ten Network after I get home from coaching the kids' practice. So that's been my go-to so far this season. But I am actually making it to the Rutgers game this weekend. We have our Hall of Fame alumni weekend. So I will be PBA on Saturday.
That is good, man. That's awesome. And Hall of Fame weekend's a ton of fun. And I love kind of putting the fireplace on and watching BTN. You're right on with it. And there's some things I kind of circled thinking about tonight as Nebraska heads to Minnesota. And what is number one on to-do list for you as you look at this game for Nebraska?
Well, you know, Minnesota is kind of an enigma from, you know, the team they were when Nebraska played them, you know, in December to the team they are now. They're, you know, playing, you know, different lineups. Last game they went to 7 players, so they didn't play, you know, some of the players that had played in the earlier conference games. But they are still a very athletic team. that if you don't do a good job on the backboard, they can beat you. I know they're minus, Lynch, which was an athletic kid that played for him in December. Coffee has still been in and out of the lineup being hurt, but you have to do a great job on the backboard. And Nebraska, I think, out rebounded them 42-38, in Lincoln to beat them in the first couple conference games, and that'll be a stat I'm watching tonight.
Well, and you look at Evan Taylor, career high 7 rebounds. I thought he was huge. The first meeting for Nebraska with his defense and kind of the tone he set for that ball game. We'll get into a couple of other thoughts on tonight, but who do you see kind of joining Evan? Do you think Evan's going to get a bigger role tonight? Who are some keys for Nebraska tonight? Let's start defensively. Let's start with rebounding.
Well, Nebraska does not have a great rebounding personnel. Mm-hmm. If you look for position by position, as athletic as Copeland and Palmer are at the 3 and the 4, they do not do a great job of rebounding. They're okay rebounders. So Nebraska is a team rebounding group. I think having Jordy, back in the lineup helps solidify that a little bit. Certainly Taylor is a defensive-minded, strong guard that does do an adequate job of rebounding from the guard position. So it's it's going to be a group effort as it has been all season for Nebraska. Can they continually score? I mean, Watson, I think, had his probably best game of the season against Minnesota. Certainly he's not playing at that level. So it's going to take a good defensive effort, but they're winning right now because they're scoring the basketball, and they're going to have to do that again tonight.
How do you think this team approaches the opportunity when it comes to pressure and then the outside noise that is there? I mean, you've been a part of it when folks are jacked and excited for Nebraska basketball because of all the dance talk. How do you think they deal with it moving forward?
Well, it's a great question. This group has not been, in that position. Copeland, did see it around Georgetown. Certainly Palmer saw it a little bit around Miami. But, the guys that have been at Nebraska, Watson have not been in this position. So I do think it's an unknown. Tim Miles has had teams in this position, so he understands the message that he has to deliver. And, I think I read a quote from Roby. He talked about they needed to win 23 or 24 games because they don't have great wins. So they're for him to quote that, he read it somewhere. So the team is reading and having the social media aspect of it now, where I didn't have that in the 90s. It can be a distraction, but you hope they have some maturity. They do have some upperclassmen. They're not playing a ton of freshmen. You hope guys like Taylor that are 21, 22 years old can help keep the team focused on the task at hand, and that's, beating Minnesota tonight.
Did you guys ever have problems looking ahead?
Chris, we were 8-4 my senior year. We were leading. We were tied with Kansas in the Big 12. We only had 16 games versus the 18 that they play. But we went 1-3 down the stretch my senior year. Went 10-6, was the first team in the history of the BCS conference to be left out of the tournament at 10-6 in terms of a conference record. So, we were a veteran team, and it certainly I think we had some distractions going on at that time of year. So it can happen. I was a senior and let it happen to a group that I was a captain on. So you look back on that and wonder what you could have done differently. But it's hard. The pressure to win, the fans' expectations, the excitement around the program. You're excited for the kids because they've played themselves to this spot. But if they go 3-3 down the stretch here, or find ways to lose games that they should win, they're going to be on the outside looking in, and that excitement will disappear in a hurry.
Well, the penalty is so massive here. Even if they drop one, and we'll get to kind of recalibrated Markowski's magic number here in a couple of minutes. I'm going to go back to your senior year, 98-99, correct?
And yes.
And I remember that team vividly because Vincent Hamilton won conference, won Big 12 player of the year. You had Cookie, Lou was gone, wasn't he?
yeah, Teron had left our, you know, our junior year, which, you know, so we played really without a point guard that whole year, which was a limiting factor. But, you know, we still had, you know, enough talent to get to the tournament, but just didn't get it done.
I mean, you guys were a really good team, and you had some resume wins. Have you ever gotten an answer? I mean, I know you said you dropped 3 out of 4, but that should have been counterbalanced with some of your wins, your sweep of Kansas. You beat somebody else. I think it might have been Oklahoma State or Baylor or somebody. I mean, you had road wins too, is the point. Did you ever get a satisfactory answer as to why you guys got left out?
You know, there's no one is ever in the committee to know, but, you know, we were told, you know, after the fact or through conversations with Danny, I don't know when and how I heard it, but we were told that we had some really bad losses. Wisconsin beat us by 100 in Alaska under Dick Bennett. You know, Kansas had beat us, you know, 25 or so in the conference semifinals. And, you know, that was kind of the last, you know, game on the committee's mind. You know, we had went down to Tulsa and got beat pretty good by a Bill Self team. So we had some really bad losses, which, you know, probably, you know, reflected and canceled out our wins. But, you know, that being said, you know, Rayford Young, which, you know, is a name that everybody probably knows now with his son Trey tearing up Oklahoma, he split our press at Lubbock to get a game-winning bucket to beat us by 1. Which was a really tough loss for us. I think with 6 seconds to go, they had taken a timeout and found a way to beat us last second. Then we lost at home to Oklahoma State. So we played ourselves out of the tournament that year. You know, disappointing, but it can happen.
This year's team, their margin for error, it hasn't gotten. There's not any more room on the couch. I mean, because of how Illinois is perceived, what people think of Minnesota right now, the home schedule. Penn State, I think, has some valid respect. Maryland's still kind of a lukewarm team right now. Have you recalibrated, reconfigured a number count? I have, you know, you and I started talking about this 3-4 weeks ago, and I've kind of been 23-ish. And I think they still got to win out.
No, I don't think they have to win out. It's hard to put an exact number on it because there's so many other variables that go into who else wins conference tournaments, who, you know, how many spots are really going to be available. You know, I do think they have to avoid, you know, the really bad loss. I mean, the Rutgers at home, for instance, is, you know, it's just a loss that they can't take right now. But, you know, the positive thing is they do play a lot of teams that are battling them for the fifth spot in the league. You look at the Marylands, the Penn States. You know, you have those teams on your schedule that aren't great wins, but I think they're good wins if you get those. I think it's really important for Nebraska to get the fifth seed. I don't think the fourth seed helps them because I think the league will get 5 in. The reason why I say fifth seed is you get to play an extra game in the conference tournament where the fourth would get a bye. We were in that spot in 97. We actually got the fifth seed, played Baylor, which was the 12. We got a win, and then, you know, we picked up another resume win and got in as a 10 seed. So I think that if Nebraska, you know, wins 4 games down the stretch here, you know, you get the fifth seed, which I think the league's going to get 5 in, and then you win a couple more in the Big Ten tournament. You know, I think they're – you know, we'll be right there. I think this is a team that has proven they can play with the top teams in the country. You know, Kansas is going to be an upper seed. You played Purdue fairly close. But to say they need to win out, I think they have a little wiggle room to make a mistake, but I don't think that can be a bad home loss. I think would be maybe the nail that puts them in the coffin, and then they'd have to do really well in the conference tournament to play themselves back in, which is possible because I think the league, the conference tournament is going to be wide open.
Well, and you have Rutgers looming, obviously take care of work tonight, but also a roadie to Illinois who they're not fun to play, period. They don't match up well with Nebraska. I should say Nebraska doesn't match up well with them. And those are two just brutal potential losses. Let's go to James Palmer Jr. You've seen the league. You see the stars in the league. Is he first team All Big Ten in your mind?
Well, you know, I would have to to walk through everybody, but nobody has meant more to their team than James, and nobody in the league has had a five-game run that he has had in terms of scoring. So, you know, if Nebraska is in the top four or five in the league, and Palmer, you know, plays consistently down the stretch, I absolutely think he deserves that spot or one of the five spots. You know, however, you know, there's a lot of guys that have more history in the league. They have consistency maybe over a couple, two or three seasons. And, you know, I think some of that plays in the voters' minds as they start giving those last couple spots away. So he's certainly an all-conference performer. He's played himself into that first five spots in my mind. However, you know, there's a lot of basketball left to be played on both fronts, on James's front and some other players that, you know, have had good seasons in the Big Ten.
Eddie Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the pride of Ord, standout Nebraska basketball player. And, Andy, a thought with Nebraska tonight. Coach Miles mentioned this yesterday, but what do you think's been holding Nebraska back from starting fast? I know they haven't hit shots, but is it more of a mentality versus a physical execution with them?
Yeah, you know, you always try to pinpoint exactly why. You know, some teams just, you know, aren't fast starters. For one, I just don't, you know, Palmer's becoming that go-to guy. So I think now, you know, they probably know they need to get him started a little bit, where I think over the last, you know, 10 games or so, you thought Watson was their best player, right? You know, everything, let's get Watson going. Let's rely on his scoring, which everybody thought he was going to have a big year to have them in the position they're in. So now I think they have a little bit more role definition. So I think they can start faster. I don't think it's going to be a super hard environment tonight. I mean, it's Andrews Arena is always a hard place to play. But Minnesota's lost five in a row. I think, you know, everybody pretty much knows their season is going to end poorly. So I don't think they're going into a tough environment. But I'd love to see them shoot the basketball well. They have not shot it well from the three. I think they're a capable three-point shooting team. I think Minnesota will show them some zone tonight where they're going to have to make some perimeter jump shots. So starting fast, you know, is important, but finishing stronger is more important. And Nebraska has found ways to finish games, you know, with 2 or 3 minutes to play. And in my opinion, as a former coach and as a player, you'd much rather have a team that finishes strong than a team that starts strong and finishes slow.
Andy, 30 seconds. Your gut says what about tonight, win or loss?
I think they win. I certainly think the 8 days of rest will give them energy. Nebraska, you know, Minnesota has played two games through that same stretch. I think Nebraska is a confident team. I think they have great role definition, and I think they're finally healthy, ready for the stretch run, and I think they'll handle Minnesota fairly easy tonight.
Andy Markowski, the pride of Ord, Hail Varsity Radio, Husker Basketball Thoughts. Andy, you're the best man. Appreciate your time, and we'll get caught up again. Thanks so much.
All right. Great, Schmitty. Stay
warm. You too, bud. Wear that stocking hat. Andy Markowski. Last time we talked to him, he was in New York. It's Rutgers. And now he's... Markowski's just giant. I feel bad because he goes to that dark place known as the snub of 98-99, and he's open about it. They were a good team. Really good team. They got both middle fingers from the committee. Then you had to wait forever till no-sit Saturday. Some recruiting thoughts, some final Nebraska basketball thoughts, and what is going on with the bubble. Where's Nebraska at right now? The latest and greatest from ESPN.com. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, Colton's freaking me out here. A little bit, just because of tomorrow being signing day part two. And you have a couple of kids that are big-time Nebraska prospects. One is Tanner. Caleb Tanner, defensive end, outside linebacker. Jared Bell, offensive lineman, offensive tackle. I said Tanner. I think Tanner will figure out what he wants to do between Florida and Nebraska. But you have two kids that are trying to decide between Arizona State and Nebraska. And if I were to take a picture right now and put out on Twitter, what message are you sending me, Colton? Got your pretty awesome looking red Nebraska zip up winter coat on. Then you got Sparky.
Yeah, it's what did we call it? It's my 96 like throwback.
It's your 96.
Yeah, 96.
Pour another Busch Light if you were down there for it. Some of us. So where are you leaning here? If you had to, I know where you're going now. But if Colton Stone, 80s action star, was declaring, are you going to Arizona State? The long sleeve T-shirt you got, or are you going with the coat, the Nebraska gear?
Based on where each of the programs are moving, like direction, I'd sign with Nebraska.
Sure,
and that's like
you've tried out for Nebraska a couple of times. Good answer.
There's a third one coming up too.
So. Oh, good.
Hopefully,
good.
But I don't know, and that's like nothing against what Herm is like trying to do down at ASU, but it just doesn't seem like that's the place you'd want to go if you're trying to start your college career.
I think Herm's pretty trustworthy, but I think Herm's in for a rude awakening, very short patience, I'm out, pay me some money. I think he's going to wear out chasing around recruiting.
And there's obviously that like very recent resume that Scott Frost can show that like this is what we just did, this is what I have done.
It's what we're going to do.
It's just more of an allure.
Arizona State was just a mess, and I like Herm, but Herm's an NFL guy,
mm-hmm.
and Herm needed the job, and Herm took a monster pay cut, or was something comparable. Herm makes no money. He makes no money for being a college head football coach. And good luck. He isn't going to – Sumlin's going to – I don't know if he'll crush it because no one's ever crushed it in Arizona for very long, but Sumlin's – still got the Johnny Football thing working for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. College basketball, are you ready for Bubba Watch? We unveil the latest from ESPN.com. Are you excited about this?
Yeah.
No?
Yes and no,
okay.
I guess. But you want to see Nebraska keep – I mean, they're moving up. But
I know.
You want to see them finally, like, them change it to the Big Ten having five teams in. And even if it's slotting Nebraska as one of those 11 versus 11 play-ins, like, that's a start.
No, there is. And here's your three criteria, or four criteria, RPI, SOS, strength of schedule, BPI, and strength of record. And the three categories are you're a lock, should be in, work to do. And I ask you again, we hit on it in hour one, has Nebraska basketball accomplished anything? Coach Miles says no. Can this team stay focused here? Cut 13. And Roby spent some time with the media yesterday. Is it hard for the team to stay focused? That is some baggage they're carrying around now, is the expectation and anticipation of what March can bring.
I don't think so, just because, I mean, we know what we have to do, I guess. We kind of have our plan out. I mean, if you want to make the tournament for us, we got to get 22, 23 wins based on our resume right now. So, I mean, we see the big picture, but we're taking it one day at a time, like you said. But, I mean, we know what we got to do, so...
Good for him. We got to take it one day at a time. And Miles mentioned it. Do you worry about this team getting too big-headed? I don't. If they're going to lose a game they shouldn't lose, it's not because they're going to overlook anybody or give the proper respect from a scout standpoint. The way this team's played and won defense, I believe they are down to ride. They know they'll win with defense. If they're going to if they're going to lose a game they shouldn't, it's going to be one of these tight ball games, and it's because two things have murdered them all year. When it comes to being loose with the basketball and offensive rebounding, that's how they'll lose. Mm-hmm. It's not because they're going to overlook anybody. I think they know just how crazy the Big Ten is. I mean, how does Rutgers host and lose to Purdue by two and then go get cut in half the other night, scoring 16 in the first half? How's Minnesota go to Michigan as they're on a four-game losing streak? By the way, the last win they had was in overtime, way, way back when Nebraska hit and beat Illinois at the buzzer. They won at Penn State. Nobody wins at Penn State. Penn State goes and beats Ohio State. Ohio State's got a murderous schedule in front of them. But back to bubble watch. So your locks for the ACC, Virginia and Duke. Clemson should be in. Carolina should be in. Miami, work to do. Louisville, work to do. Florida State, work to do. Syracuse, under 500, work to do. NC State, work to do. Virginia Tech, work to do. Kansas, the only lock in the Big 12, should be in, is Texas Tech and Oklahoma and West Virginia. Tech is good. They just won in Lawrence not long ago. West Virginia and Oklahoma, man, they have hit a windshield. They have been fading and fading, and West Virginia found a way against Oklahoma. TCU and Texas and Kansas State have work to do. Your should be in is Seton Hall from the Big East with Xavier and Nova. Nova's incredible. They say Creighton has work to do. RPI is 23, strength of schedule 36, BPI 19, strength of record 22. Crumple is obviously out, and Creighton's at 7-4 in the Big East. That league, man, Marquette, Providence, Butler, all have some, what, they did that, type wins this year. Let's move on down to the Big Ten. Two locks. Does that sound right? Purdue and Michigan State.
Yeah, as like salt. Yeah, as solid
like,
locks.
Like they're
yeah.
not, they could lose out and still
yeah.
get in. Should be in is Ohio State. They say Michigan has work to do. I don't know. Michigan's at 18-6 or 18-7. They're 19-6. 8-4 tied with Nebraska. Listen, Michigan's in good shape. They have a really good tournament profile. They won at Michigan State not long ago. They beat Texas, who's kind of surging. What they can't do is this week. They can't puke all over themselves against Northwestern and Wisconsin. Maryland, 5-7 in the league. They almost beat Purdue on the road. They just have been close but haven't gotten enough quality wins. Nebraska right now, per ESPN bubble watch, 17-8, 8-4. RPI's 59, strength of schedule 44, BPI 66, strength of record is at 40. That's not awful. And thank you again, St. John's. Here's what the word is on Nebraska. The Cornhuskers have swung and missed on their five highest profile chances. Against Kansas, on the road against Creighton and Michigan State, Purdue and Ohio State. Nebraska dominated Michigan and you know, won that by 20. And they have a good chance to finish Big Ten play well above 500. We'll put Nebraska here for now. Work left to do. What's that mean to you? Like, okay, you've got some wins that have tallied up. You've won three out of your last four. You're back at it. What I just read, do you think they have faith in Nebraska? Or is it more of a commentary on the Big Ten?
I think they have some faith in Nebraska and the whole – I get they've, like, swung and missed on their big opportunities, but the way they've been able to play against other teams, I think they're noticing that they have that ability and that they're kind of on the rise. And I don't think the ACC is going to get that many teams. I think some of them have to fizzle out there towards the end. And so that could clear spots too.
Well, here's what I wonder. Like, how far of a free-for-all will Arizona State continue to have until they finally hit the floor?
Mm-hmm.
They've been a mess. They started out gangbusters with wins at Kansas. SC's there. UCLA is there. Auburn is the only lock for the SEC. I'm calling it now. They're going to vacate this tournament run because Bruce Pearl has a history of that type of thing. Tennessee, his old squad, should be in. Kentucky should be in. A&M work to do. Missouri, God, they had a big win. They're at 15-8, 5-5. Arkansas has had some wins. Alabama just beat Oklahoma not long ago. Florida's there. The SEC has given a damn about basketball this year. They're good. But I think if I'm going to circle one team that's going to fall off, and they have Georgia in here as work left to do, 13-9. I'm going to use my red marker to cross them out. Nebraska's already beat Mississippi State. Somebody kept score in that game. They shouldn't be in front of Nebraska. And then there's Florida. I don't know. Cincinnati's pretty talented. Wichita State's been struggling too.
Mm.
So what you need to do is grab your big bad voodoo doll of two or three teams you dislike in the ACC that are on the bubble, two or three teams that are not your favorite in the Big East, and a couple in the American. Just go to work. Just go to work. Recruiting thoughts, Rob Gronkowski, news. We move forward on a Tuesday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Signing day blowout tomorrow with Hail Varsity Radio. Extended show 2:30 to 6. Greg Smith will be in. Coaches, players, thoughts, and the Scott Frost press conference. We invite you to join us where you can hear us on Hail Varsity Radio. Signing day and Valentine's Day, you got to secure that commitment. Rick can help with Sauter Heyman. Great Valentine's Day gifts this year. And Rick is featuring the Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant. It's beautiful. It's phenomenal. And they're starting at $99 now and forever. She'll know how much you care when you give her the gift of time and eternity. They are lovely. And you can see Rick, and he can help you with Valentine's Day 2018. Down at 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. And this year's featured item, Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant. Get to Sauter Heyman today, and Rick will help take care of Valentine's Day for that special someone, and you'll look like the man. That is good. Okay, so we know that 60,000 spring game tickets have been sold. We know that could be a wild ride for Nebraska to close this class of 2018. Also know that 5 Huskers are going to the NFL Combine. Let's spend a minute on that before we get to Gronk. And I'm kind of surprised, but not really surprised, about this invite. Only 300 and some dudes get invited. Tanner Lee, you knew, was going. But Chris Jones and Joshua Kalu got the nod, along with Drew Brown and then Nick Gates. They all earned invites. DPE did not. DPE's a personal favorite, so best wishes to him. Of the 5, who are you most high on right now? You heard Steve Calhoun yesterday. We talked to Steve. Steve's working as Tanner's personal coach, getting him ready for the NFL draft. That's something that Steve has done with guys like Cam Newton and Nick Foles. He told us about his time with Nick. And Tanner really has kind of got the 50-50 look going per Steve Calhoun yesterday to us. They love his arm. They hate his footwork. They being some of the NFL teams, and you go 8-19 and have two turnovers, cough up points on offense for a defense during the Senior Bowl, you've got more to overcome. Was he going to be a second-round guy? No. Was he going to be a third-round guy? Probably not. But maybe he sneaks in there. And one performance isn't going to exile you to seventh round him. But when you think of Tanner Lee right now, based on his turnover issues, you're like, 5-7, right?
I think late fourth, early fifth, somewhere.
Okay,
in there,
so you're going
just based on. I mean, he's an NFL. I mean, he quote unquote NFL quarterback.
He's
I
a
mean,
style,
right? So it's
you have fewer and fewer of that type of style coming into the league,
right? And if someone's looking for a pocket passer, then that's what he is. So.
Well, I think Tanner will make a team, obviously, and get picked. But Jones and Kalu, I'm liking Jones. I like what he can do. I think he'll test well. I hope he tests well for his sake, because the guy tried to do what he could with the injury. Nick Gates, let's spend some time on number 68. And a lot of you are like, what is this guy doing? Declare it. But he got the combine invite. Here's what I believe went wrong with Gates. And you've heard about confidence, and you saw what Barnett did in the Super Bowl, recovered the fumble heard around the world. But Gates is a guy that I think got frustrated with the situation he was in. Gates is a guy that never got better from his redshirt freshman season. And fact check me here. I just said redshirt freshman. I don't think he played as a true freshman, did he?
No, I don't think he did.
Okay. Well,
I think he played 3 years.
Right. So yeah. that's my when I'm saying redshirt freshman. The peak of Nick Gates was UCLA and Michigan State that year. Redshirt freshman season on the right side. And then he's moved to left tackle, struggles, and then they all struggled this year. There's some really bad lowlights of Gates on film, just missing and whiffing. And I think he got frustrated. I think his coach got on him. I think their relationship probably wasn't the same because if you're Cav and company, you're feeling pressure, and maybe you aren't the same guy as when it first got here. I think there's all those things going into it. Gates said, screw it. Let me go make some money. And they're going to move him to guard. Now, I look at Gates, and what do you need as a guard? You need to be nasty, and you need to be athletic. And you need to be just tough. Gates never had a problem run blocking. Okay? Gates can move. Has Gates been nasty? Yes, he has been. Sometimes too much so. If you go back to Iowa, based on what Iowa players have said. But you get him in the right spot at a guard position, he might be a guy that not only makes a squad, gets drafted, makes a squad, but could see some time. So I think he'll be okay if he can get it right between his ears. Lastly, you look at Drew Brown, guy's money. The guy's talented, and his brother was in the league for 1,000 years. So I think that can all work out for Nebraska. Speaking of NFL, Rob Gronkowski. Gronk. Well, Gronk, we know you've not been at home. So what's happened? How you doing? How you living?
911 lines quoted. Where is your emergency?
Hello, this is an emergency. This is just this is Rob Gronkowski calling, and while I was gone, my whole house got robbed while on the Super Bowl trip, and I just got back.
That is insult to injury. Gronk, are you retiring? Shut up, I don't know. And then you get home, and some scumbucket burglarizes your pad. What did they find? Or what would you expect to find at Gronk's place? What would you take?
Oh, Well, I was going to say you'd probably find a bunch of empty cans of beer.
Right. Well, I think he's got the mother of all recycle areas. Right?
Yeah.
For empties. Gronk's got probably like a 17-stall garage, and 2.5 stalls are just Gronk's party disposal. Gronk can call up Kramer and Newman, and they can go make a lot of money returning empties. He's close to Maine. They pay more. At least they did. So the police have to go check this out. You already lost. You tried your damnedest to make that 500 catch. And what happens? You get home. Someone just burglarizes your stuff. Foxborough Police Chief William Baker confirmed in a written statement his department received a phone call yesterday at 6:18. A routine property crime investigation. Make sure you hide the bong.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I've got some film clipped of us good in transition on the road and not so good. But if we're good, that means we can be good. We've done it before, so it's possible. We'll just see how that works.
That is key. A good start, rebound, free throws, make it happen. Before we get to our predictions with Nebraska, Minnesota tonight, according to police, safes and guns taken from the Gronkowski house. So, no word on if he has that two-stall recycle bin for cans. And I'm not saying that Rob partakes in anything. I'm saying if he shows up and there's paraphernalia, those dudes left it. Be my claim. Look what they left. Dust for fingerprints. Colton, what happens here? Nebraska or Minnesota tonight? -3 still? Minnesota favored?
Oh, man. I think you're right. They got to start fast. They can't come out.
They haven't, though, man. They haven't started fast for 1,000 years.
And I feel like we say it every time. They have to start fast, and they don't. So,
stay the course.
Maybe don't start fast.
4-2 at the under-17 timeout. Just keep things normal.
I think they just need to get out to an early lead and just – they can't turn into this three-point happy team like they have before.
No, I know. And listen, man, you got no one to block your shots anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So take it to the house. Get to the rim.
I think Nebraska wins. I don't think it's like a 20-point blowout. I think it's maybe like 78-65.
They put up 83, I think, the first time. It was impressive, is what I'm saying. Minnesota's favored by 4. I think I'm going to keep picking against Nebraska because they keep winning. Huh? How's that sound? I'm going to say Minnesota 67, Nebraska 61. I think they should win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they – I don't know how I feel about this one compared to – like, a week ago I was all in on Wisconsin. And I was just like, there's no way they're going to make that happen.
Is it the break? Is it the week of rest?
It's the break, and then it's the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to think about it. Some guys will. Can you handle it and deal with it? Minnesota, this is stupid, but aren't they kind of due?
Yeah.
Nebraska, when's the last like bad game Nebraska played? Probably against Illinois.
Yeah. Illinois is probably last one. Maybe Penn State before that.
Yeah, but they also had a monster comeback. So, recruiting day, signing day, National Signing Day extravaganza. Join us tomorrow on Hail Varsity, an extended show, 2:30 to 6. Greg Smith will be in, coaches, players. We'll have the Scott Frost press conference for you. We want to have you check us out and see what we think. Greg Smith, myself, And you, for signing day part two, 2018, with Hail Varsity Radio. Don't forget an Instagram chat with Greg Smith, Brandon Vogel tonight, for the eve of signing day. So we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2:30 for signing day blowout with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.